Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. The beginnings of not just for the young. I love to hear that. Amen. As we continue to move forward, we'd like to thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we do thank you for being a part of this hour. Amen. For those of you who are listening by internet,
You can call in. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can be a part of this blog talk radio. We have an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you could call in and participate. Amen. As we move forward, we have on our prayer list, we're going to add, we have numerous people on our prayer list, so be patient with us. And if you have anyone on your list that you would like to pray for, please add them. You can add a prayer, you know, publicly or privately. Amen. On our list this evening, we have Caitlin Wheat. We're asking for healing. We're asking for prayer for Brenda Palmer, who is the sister of Bishop Palmer. We've just received some bad news with that. We'd like to pray for that. We'd also like to pray for Corey Hamler, who is the son of, Corey Hamler. We're going to pray for healing for a shattered ankle. We are praying for Cornell Clay for recovery, healing. Stuart Hawthorne, we continue to add him in on our prayer list, a man who is recovering nicely. We do thank God for that. Diane Hobbs, she is on our list. Wendell Wilborn, Vonzetta Wilborn. Pastor Paul Robinson has called in and asked for us to continue to pray for him. We know that he is healing, but he's also asking for prayer. His job has just closed, so, you know, he just lost his job. So he did send a text and ask if the saints would pray for him as well. Beverly Spratlin, Yolonia Clay, we're asking for prayer. Aletha Clay, we're asking for prayer for both for healing and for Hawthorne. We have her on our list. We're asking for prayer. Kenneth Smithson, I believe that's the name. We're asking for prayer
for his family.
Amen. And we're also asking for prayer for Katrina Holloway. Amen. And there are so many that we have on our list, and we'd like to ask that you would continue to pray for them as well. Amen. If you do that, that would be so gracious. We are the body of Christ, and we are here to pray and support one another. Amen. To pray and support one another. So we're asking that you do just that. Amen. Our prayer list, as we continue, let's go in prayer. Father, we bow and worship and praise before you. Father, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ and claim protection of the blood for our families. We pray for our finances. We pray for our home. We pray for our spirit, our soul, and our body. Father, we surrender ourselves completely to every area of our lives to you. Father, we take a stand right now together corporately for the workings of the devil that try to hinder and any part of our families, Heavenly Father, from serving you. Father, we address that we are the children of the true and living God who has the power and control over everything. We command it in the name of Jesus that any darkness that is coming against us, Heavenly Father, that no weapons shall form. Father, we ask, Lord, that all those names on our prayer list, Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, for spirit, body, and soul in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you for healing. Father, you know what they're in need of. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would take control, that you would take control in the name of Jesus. Father, we claim, we declare, we decree it in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Amen. Our topic this evening is, and we're going to have an open mic this evening, so please, you know, we would like for you to share with our talk as we open up the scripture, amen, and we go through and dissect it, and hopefully, prayerfully, it is a blessing to those who are listening, amen, as well as those who are speaking. We thank you. Our scripture is coming from 1 Peter 2:11. 2:11, 1 Peter 4:11, and Matthew 5:16. And the reading is as such. Beloved, I urge you, as a sojourner and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. That is 1 Peter 2:11. And this letter is referenced to, and it's referenced to Peter, but we're going to let's look at it from a physical standpoint. It says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh." The passions of the flesh. What does that mean? That means that we have a warring tendencies. Amen. Warring tendencies. This is a spiritual warfare, and we're always at war. Amen. With the spirit. In this letter, it is saying to abstain from the passions of the flesh. Passions of the flesh. We function according to the Spirit of God and not the flesh. And there are always going to be fleshly desires. Okay, and this letter is to the sojourners, asking that they wage war against your flesh. Wage war against your flesh. The things that we do, we find that oftentimes it is of the flesh, and oftentimes we have to go in prayer and ask God to intervene on our behalf because of fleshly desires.
Can we dissect that?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we talk about this verse. What version are you reading to?
1 Peter 2:11-12. Oh, this is NIV.
Okay. Okay. When we talk about the lust of the flesh, we think about like sexual sins and sexual temptations, but the things of the world, if you think of it as the things of the world and lusting over the things of the world, not just of the flesh, those things that tempt us, such as the sexual things and things that satisfy us physically, but also those things that may satisfy you emotionally too,
mm-hmm.
and socially and financially. So sometimes when we look at the temptations, we think that one is better, one is not as bad as the other. But sin is sin. So whether it's, and I oftentimes think of the different addictions. So whether it's addiction to drugs, it's addiction to sex, it's addiction to gambling, addiction to spending, addiction to overworking, addiction to not working, to be addicted to poverty, okay, if that makes any sense, being lazy or somebody that's just a pathological liar, those types of things. So it's all of those. When I think of this scripture, and I read it in the Living Bible Version and the King James Version, that it's all types of temptations, all types of lusts, all types of sins or evil pleasure that we have just committed to the Lord. And everybody is tempted. And it's those temptations that keep us away from that keeps our souls and our spirits always restless and unsatisfied and unable to reach out to the Lord. One piece that you read from that verse was, in your version, was about how, I think you said how the Gentiles, did you say Gentiles are watching?
Sojourners and Pilgrims.
So people are watching us, and they're watching to see how you respond to such and such. If you respond the same way the world responds, then what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? You're caught too. And I think that it has to do with being honest and turning over whatever the temptation or lust or addiction or sin is over to the Lord, because we all struggle with something. And if you don't, you will. Mm-hmm. And if you're not right now, like I said, you will, or you probably have. So we all have temptation. So it's not like one is better than the other. One temptation is better than the other, nor is that one brother or sister is better than the other. But what we as Christians and believers in the body of Christ have to be mindful of is that people are always watching us. So we need to know how to live a Christ-centered life. And as the word says, how to walk circumspectly, mm-hmm. that you're walking, but you're looking behind you, because who is following behind you? Who's watching you?
Amen, amen. And also, are there any comments? The mic's open. Are there any comments? Amen. And also, people are always going to have things to say, because we as the believers, we are walking circumspectively. And before God. And so there's always going to be a wage against our soul, that spirit man. This is a spiritual warfare. There's going to be a war. There are going to be those who are going to criticize believers because of what they believe. They are going to criticize because of what they see. And they're always watching and looking for the believers to fall, and they're always going to have something to say. And here it says, you know, conduct among Gentiles honorable, so that conducting among the Gentiles, we as the people of believers, honorable, so that when they speak against you, now get this, when they speak against you as evildoers. Now, that's that spiritual warfare that's coming. When they speak against you as evildoers those are spirits that want you to fall. Those are spirits that want you to go back into the world and do what you used to do. Those are spirits that do not want you to succeed for Christ. So there's always going to be something coming against the believer, those who are following Christ. There's always going to be a war. There's always going to be something. And what it's saying here is this: keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Honorable means that you're always saying and doing what's right, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation.
The one thing I want to say is that being, not that all Christians are perfect, and you're not going to do everything perfect, but the piece that my husband mentioned was the piece about honorable, being honest, being authentic. So be yourself. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Don't prepare, and that's what turns a lot of unbelievers away, is they think that, you know, they see a bunch of Christians that go to church one way and come out smiling, praise the Lord, and then get in the car and cursing everybody out. Or they live one way on Sunday but totally different in the marketplace or at the job. So it's about being real. Being authentic, simplifying your life to be who God has called you to be. It doesn't mean that you've arrived, that you're absolutely perfect, but you're working towards Christ-like living. And what is Christ-like living? It's about being honest and being real. Mm-hmm. In the Living Bible, that verse says, be careful how you behave among your unsaved neighbors, for then, even if they are suspicious of you and talk against you, they will end up praising God for your good works when Christ returns. And sometimes you don't even have to wait until Christ returns for, of course, you'll see evidence before that when people will remember, because I can think of times, and I know my husband probably can as well, when you work in situations, when you're working with unbelievers, which I'm sure most of us do, if you're not working in the church or at the at a Bible factory, you work with people, and there are going to be people there that are going to challenge you. And I remember when I was real young in the Lord, and there were people that, because I would pray every morning, and then there became other teachers who would come with me and come to my room and pray. And so every morning before classes start, we'd have prayer and so forth. So they started calling me. I don't know if you remember on Saturday Night Live, the character, the church lady. And so they would call me the church lady and laugh and tease me. And, oh, she doesn't do that because she's a church lady. And they, you know, do imitations of the church lady and everything. And actually, it was very hurtful that for someone to mock you or to make fun of your faith or the way that you carry yourself, especially when you're young. But when push came to shove, and as a staff we were in a very delicate situation, people would come, some of those same people would come to me in private and ask for prayer. I got telephone calls that people had asked, even Jewish and Muslim folks from work would call or send me a note or come talk to me and ask me if our prayer group would please pray for their children or their mother or whatever. And then we had a teacher that became very ill. She passed out of school, and later we found out that she later succumbed to a brain tumor. And my boss asked me to come and lead the staff in prayer, to hold a prayer meeting at the school. And I said, well, what about, you know, how folks feel about church and state and whatever? He said he was going to take the fall for it, mm-hmm. and he asked me to lead it. Mm-hmm. So people know, so even when things may be uncomfortable for you, don't compromise your relationship with Christ. Don't compromise your witness with the unbelievers and those that you work with, those neighbors that you may have that aren't saved, your family members that aren't saved. Don't compromise to make them feel comfortable, because there will come a day that they are going to remember that you're steadfast, and that even if they don't believe, they know that you believe and that you're serving a God that answers your prayers. Mm-hmm. And so they will come to you, and they will ask you. And you can put some money on that and say, hey, Susie said that. But people do watch you. They do watch you to see if you're really being honest, or is this a fad? Is this, especially with people that have known you for a while, is this a fad? Are you just pretending? Are you just trying to be something that you're not?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Any comments? Amen. So as we are going through this, and for those of you that have just tuned in, we are in 1 Peter. We're in 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12. So we're just dissecting, you know, what it says. Now, in another part of the Bible, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now, why does it say, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims? Meaning that this is not our home. This is not our home. As believers, this is not our home. We are just here traveling, going through our journey while we're here. And it says the word is rendered, is considered that we're strangers. Strangers to this world. Foreigners to this world. So it means like that we are dwelling, we are neighboring. Okay, we are here neighboring. We are citizens of heaven and not this earth. Our conversation is not the same conversation as an earthly conversation.
Amen.
So what it's looking here, it means that we are Christians, that we are not citizens of this world. But we are, our citizenship is in heaven. And so that we are just mere sojourners. We're travelers. We're wanderers. We are just here temporarily wandering. Amen? So our conversation, for our conversation as citizens in heaven is going to be totally different than here on this world.
Amen.
A pilgrim. We are pilgrims. A pilgrim is one who travels the distance from his own country to visit a holy place or to pay his devotion to some holy object, or then a traveler, or considered a wanderer.
Amen.
Amen. So we are citizens of heaven. So when it says this, when it speaks of this, it's speaking of how we conduct ourselves as citizens while we are wandering, while we are traveling along our path. Amen?
Amen.
Any comments? Any comments? We would really like to hear from you. Any comments?
I like that you use the word citizenship, especially now politically with all of that, with the immigration and all of the one. I like that you, because that really sends it home.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen. So, you, please understand that we should not regard earth as our home.
Or our final destination.
Our final destination. Amen. We should not allow anyone to take us away from our conversation, our heavenly conversation, being that this is not our home, that we are just citizens traveling here. Amen. We don't regard earth as our home. We acquire, there is a permanent place for you and I, and it is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. So this is what it's saying here, that you shouldn't allow anything to attach itself to you, to form you, or to rearrange who you are while you are on your journey to your final home. Think about that. Travelers here on earth, walking this earth, looking for your final home. Pilgrims here only temporarily, lodging, okay? We're pursuing your journey. And aren't we all on a journey? And so while we are on our journey as pilgrims, we're going to run into others to see us as foreigners. We're going to run into people to see us as different from them. Those who are earthly are not going to see us in the spirit. They see us as foreigners.
Amen.
Travelers, wanderers.
Amen.
Any comments? So even while we are engaged here, it's necessary calling the necessary calling of our life, that the study that we are to study, and we are to be keep our attention focused on our home, our final journey. While we are traveling, while we are sojourners, we are traveling this earth, seeking our final home, but we are going to run into others who are here. And as a foreigner, it is saying that we are to conduct ourselves not in an earthly realm, but in a spiritual realm, simply because we are not citizens of this earth.
Amen.
Amen. We are only occupying it temporarily. Amen. And so it says that we are to abstain, you know, as my sister or wife had said, we are to abstain from fleshly lust, desires, the passions, the appetites that prompt us as sojourners to change our individual appetite. Our individual appetites are of a heavenly realm. Amen? And when our appetites become to the point where it becomes pleasing, earthly pleasing, then we change, or it hinders our progress. Let me put it like this. It hinders our journey.
Amen.
It hinders your journey. It hinders my journey.
Amen.
So as we are going on this journey, we are to abstain from fleshly lust.
Amen.
And it goes on to say that we war against the soul. There is a war against the soul. Amen? And if you go to Romans 8:12, the meaning is that we indulge in these things to make war against the noble facilities of the soul. The meaning is to indulge in these things and make war against the noble facilities of the soul, against the conscience, the understanding that we have, the memory, the judgment, the exercise, the pure imagination. There's going to be a war against you and I. There's going to be a war against you and I. Romans 8:12, if you're looking at it, Romans 8:12. And the effect can be a faculty of our mind. That effect can change our thinking. However brilliant it is, it can change our thinking, which is can ultimately ruin you and I.
Can I read that in the Living Bible?
Sure, please.
Okay, for Romans 8, I'm going to start with verse 9. Okay, but you are not like that. You are controlled by your new nature if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ living in him, he is not a Christian at all. Yet, even though Christ lives within you, your body will die because of sin, but your spirit will live. For Christ has pardoned it. And if the Spirit of God, who raised up Jesus from the dead, lives in you, he will make your dying bones live again after you die by means of this same Holy Spirit living within you. So, dear brothers, you have no obligation whatever to your old sinful nature to do what it begs you to do. For if you keep up following it, you are lost and will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you crush it and its evil deeds, you shall live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Mm-hmm. And that's Romans 8, verse 9 to 14.
Amen. 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 Any comments? Any comments from you? Any comments? Amen. Well, we're going to continue. Amen. So as we continue, we're looking at, you know, we're looking at, and we just read from Romans, the book of Romans. So keep in mind, the Christian lands that which the Christian lands in which we occupy, the Christian lands in which we are traveler sojourners, that as we are going, we have to basically guard ourselves as we are on our journey. Because while we are guarding ourselves on our journey, if we allow anything that is earthly to become a part of our travel, it can defile. It can defile you and I. It pollutes the memory. It defiles imagination. It hardens the heart, and it sends influences through the faculty of the soul. Let me say that again. It sends withering influences through the faculties, through all the faculties of our soul.
Amen. Can I read some more?
Sure.
Okay, this is Romans 8, beginning at verse 15, and this is the Living Bible. And so we should not be like cringing, fearful folks in bondage, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family and calling to him, Father, Father, for his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we really are God's children. And since we are his children, we will share his treasure. For all God gives to his Son, Jesus, is now ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Any comments? Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, as we are looking at this, we understand that these letters are written, you know, to the body of Christ, to Christians, showing or identifying how we are to conduct ourselves. Amen. How we are to conduct ourselves while we are traveling. And you know what? You know, listening, when someone is listening to this, and you're saying, and they're probably saying, you know what? I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can, abstain myself from the lust of the world. God knows that. God knows about you, and he knows about me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He knows what we are going to go through even before we go through it. So please understand that our challenges, that's why we're constantly, our conversation is heavenly conversation. We're not asking the world for advice. We're not asking the world to help us. Our conversation is a heavenly conversation through prayer, asking God to help us through whatever we're going through. And we just read all of these that are on the prayer list. And that's where we are. Our conversation becomes a heavenly conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We are directing it to heaven, and we're not directing it to this earthly realm.
Amen. The plan is God wants to reconcile us back to him. The way that folks are living in the groanings of the earth, in the spirit, what you see with folks being in sin and lust and unhappiness and sickness and suffering and all, that's not God's plan. That's what we've fallen in. That's an effect of sin. Those things that we see, the uneasiness, the prejudice, the discontent, those are effects of living outside of the Lord. But when you reconcile back to him, then you can have peace. And even if you go further down in Romans 8:28, it's like the pillar of our faith. And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plan,
mm-hmm.
not our plan. So every day we have to relinquish our will. We have to put our temptations and our addictions and lust down, but at the Lord's feet, and ask the Lord to help us every day, one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And every day he gives us another chance.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Every day we get another chance to get it right,
mm-hmm.
to live right, to be an example for our family and for our neighbors and our coworkers and the folks that we come in contact with, to reach out another chance to speak life and to be a Christ-like expression of our faith in front of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Any comments? Amen. As we continue, 4:11, 1 Peter 4:11, it says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. And when it says oracles here, it's talking about the utterances, you know, of God, okay? And whoever serves as one serves by the strength that God supplies. Whoever speaks as one. So when it says whoever speaks, you know, it's talking about, you know, the ministers out there. The ministers out there. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, the prophecies of God. Whoever serves as one serves by the strength that God supplies. God supplies our strength. God is a supply of everything that we need. So in here, the letter is saying, it says, whoever speaks, okay, preachers, when you're speaking the oracles of God, the word of God, the utterances of God, whoever serves or one who serves by the strength of God's supply, God, the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So whatever utterances, whatever oracles, whatever word is spoken out, God is the one who is glorified through Jesus Christ. And so when those articles is to him, you know, belong glory, dominion, forever and ever. Closing remark is amen.
Amen.
So when one, you know, when one, the preachers are speaking to others, uttering a prophetic word of God, it's under the strength of God. God is giving the strength to be able to stand as a representative for him. Not going off on terms of how we see each other on earth, but everything is done by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. Not speaking words of the flesh, but speaking oracles of God, the Spirit of God. Any comments? Amen.
This is
amen.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love it.
Amen. Amen. Any comments? Any comments? Often, you know, when I looked at this, oftentimes when thank you, Jesus. When I'm looking at all of those on our prayer list, that when we go and pray for our family members, when we go and pray for others, when we are speaking on behalf of God, then we have to get in the realm where we are on that right relationship with God. So in order to get there, that means that we have to make sure that we are in right standing.
Amen.
That we are in right standing. But keep in mind, you know, and someone might ask, well, if we're always sinning, then how can we be in right standing? And I would say through repentance. Asking God to forgive us for our sins before we step in that position to begin to start to pray, to begin to speak on behalf of God. We have to make sure that we are in a right relationship with God. And that requires we've gotten away from fasting and praying to get ourselves together. I think we've gotten away from that. I think that we've gotten away from taking time alone with the Lord. I call that quiet time with God. I think we've moved away from that tradition. What do you think? Any comments? Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, who whoever serves is one who serves by the strength of God that he supplies, that everything may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So everything that we do, everything that we say, whatever we're going through, may it be bad, may it be good, whatever we are going through, God is glorified. We may not be speaking from the earthly point of view on our journey as pilgrims, as long as we have that we're heavenly minded, keeping our minds focused on Christ, that whatever we see on our journey, pilgrims, whatever we go through on our journey, pilgrims, that God, listen, God is working on my behalf and your behalf.
Can I read some more?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, and I don't want to take us too far off, but this is the whole book of Peter, First Peter, is just such a wonderful epistle for Christ-like living. On 1 Peter 4, verse 12, beginning with verse 12, dear friends, don't be bewildered or surprised when you go through the fiery trials ahead, for this is no strange, unusual thing that is going to happen to you. Instead, be really glad, because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering, and afterwards you will have the wonderful joy of sharing his glory in that coming day when it will be displayed. Be happy if you're cursed and insulted for being a Christian. For when that happens, the Spirit of God will come upon you with great glory. Don't let me hear of your suffering for murdering or stealing or making trouble or being a busybody prying into other people's affairs. But it's no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being in Christ's family and being called by his wonderful name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin first among God's own children. And if even we who are Christians must be judged, what terrible fate awaits those who have never believed in the Lord. Mm-hmm. If the righteous are barely saved, what chance will the godless have?
Mm.
We have to stay true. We have to be a witness. We have to hold on tight. Take a stand. Don't waver. Don't waver.
Amen. Amen. Mm. Amen.
No matter how hard it is.
Amen.
Amen.
No matter, thank you, my sister, no matter how hard it is. And let me tell you something. As it's speaking here, the word is saying that we are going to come up against something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come up against something. There's going to be some things that that we're going to go through. So we have to... we have to stay steadfast.
Especially in these last days.
Amen. Amen.
Especially in these political times that we're having now.
Amen.
Yes.
But
yes.
You've got to stand tall. You've got to stand tall.
Amen. 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 I just received a text from Minister Herman saying to pray for Jasmine, that something's going on with her and that she's trying to handle that. We can be mindful and keep Jasmine in prayer, whatever she's going through. Let me tell you something. My heart was hardened as I looked. People are calling me tonight, all different, from different states, calling and asking for prayer. My heart became hardened. It became extremely hardened. I was hardened to the point where I was hurt because of just hearing all of these illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all these illnesses and my friends, let me tell you something. When I came on, I really didn't know what I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I went through. Let me tell you how the enemy was working. I was going back and forth trying to determine what was right. How can I associate it with people that were calling?
Mm-hmm.
I was all over the place, all over the place. And then after I settled down, I said I might as well go with what
mm-hmm.
I originally started to go with.
Amen.
And my title was
Amen.
New and Improved Self. That's the title. New and improved.
Yeah, I like that.
And you go with what the Holy Spirit has given you. Praise God that you obey.
As we are sojourners, as it's talking in 1 Peter, you know, 11, we are just journey men and women. This is just a journey. And we have to understand that we don't live here. We are foreigners. We are just occupying this earth temporarily. And the Bible speaks, or the oracles here, the prophetic word is saying that we are looking for our home. And so as we are going and occupying this earth and as travelers looking for heaven, that we're going to be approached by evildoers.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be approached. And it's saying that in order to be able to move forward or to continue on our journey, that we have to be able to allow them to be able to see our good works.
Mm-hmm.
So when anyone comes against you, my brothers or my sisters, that we are to stay steadfast. They should see the goodness of our works. We do not turn and become just like the evildoers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That is the purpose, to get us off track of our journey.
Amen, amen, amen.
And then we forget that we are searching for our home as pilgrims.
Amen. What is your response? Amen.
So that's where we're going here. So when I think about it, I'm looking at the sicknesses that people are going through. Guess what? Those are evildoers that's just telling us what we are going, the earthly illness that we're going to go through. And it's saying here that we are to keep our minds on heaven.
And that sickness and disease is not ours.
It's not ours.
Jesus Christ died for every single stripe that he took was for sickness and disease.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Every single one was for sickness and disease.
Sometimes
folks take on and accept a diagnosis when it's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And other times it's put on them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Other times it's put on them. And sometimes, by default, folks, because I'm not a healer, I'm not a physician or anything, but I wholeheartedly believe in the healing, and I wholeheartedly believe that the blood of Jesus will heal us, that blood of Jesus flow for every single disease, every sickness, every infirmity that is in this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Every single
Amen.
Every stripe. Well, we have to apply the blood.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put these sicknesses and diseases under the blood. So when people call and ask for prayer, be sure to pray. I remember one of my friends, and I'm sorry, John, I'm kind of excited about that, but oftentimes when people are calling, and they'll call folks that they know that will pray, they call people that they believe are going to take it to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody is trusting you with their concern, mm-hmm. what has gotten them, what is overwhelming them, that they may not have the strength to lift up, they're trusting you with it. Do it immediately. Because it's an awesome responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it got, what is our response
mm-hmm.
when we're given, when we're faced with the things of the world? What is our response
mm-hmm.
when you're asked to pray? What is your response in a time when we're living in, the political times that we're living in now? Well, you got folks who said they were Christians, but even the word that we just read tells us that some of them, they appear to be Christians, but they're barely saved.
Mm.
But they're barely saved. So they're not acting Christ-like. They're not acting Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us who are in Christ, who are saying that we are Christ-like and we're determined to live a Christ-like life, what is your response going to be to them?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be the same thing that they're giving off, the hate and the distrust?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be the same thing? Give up and let them die. They got a disease, let them die. We need to prepare for death. Is it going to be the same as what they say? Are you going to minister something different? Are you going to go back to the word, to the root of the word, and minister what thus saith the Lord? Which one are you going to do? It's about what our response is. So Christ-like living is not just wearing your hat on Sunday and carrying your Bible with the embossed, your name embossed on the front. It has nothing to do with it. It's about your reaction. It's about you getting down on your knees and committing folks to Christ. To committing situations to Christ, committing incidents to Christ, laying prostrate before Him and praising and worshiping Him, and not being ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Not
Amen.
Being ashamed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I want to add on to this. You know, in Matthew 5:11, you know, and it says that when you are in the name of Christ, it says, "Happy are ye." If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, or happy are you.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? It says that happy, when you are approached because of your position and who you are, when you remain happy, it's saying it's the same as blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And it also means that those folks who want to rebuke you and tease you and mock you, they notice. Huh. They notice your light.
Hmm. Hallelujah.
They notice your stand. What is it about this man that calls himself different, that calls himself a man of God? Who does he think he is?
Hmm.
I'm going to try to knock him off of that pedestal.
Hmm.
What is your response?
Hmm. What is the response? Happy are ye, or should I say blessed are you? Blessed are you when you stand firm on the word of God. I'm talking to those out there who's going through something. Happy are ye, it says in the word. And so let's change that. Put your name in there. Blessed am I when I am happy, when I stay happy, when I don't let anything rattle me, I become blessed. I am blessed. It means that you recognize what your condition is.
Amen.
And that you are the blessed one. That is so hard to take in. It means that you regard your condition and you're saying, I'm the blessed. And so when they see that positive enjoyment, when you have that positive enjoyment, when you're reproached, it feels the air with God. Then he works on our behalf. He works on our behalf when we stand on that foundation.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then when we go with our closing, the last is 5:16. It says, in the same way, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
New and improved.
Amen.
New and approved. Standing on the word of God. It doesn't make a difference what that situation is, what you're going through, that you stand on the foundation of the word of God.
Amen.
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 We're just journeying and winning. Stand on, stand.
Pilgrim.
Stand. Yeah. It doesn't make a difference what the world say. Stand.
Amen.
Foreigner, stand.
Amen.
Stand, heavenly citizen, stand.
Amen.
You know where you come from. You know who you are. Stand.
Amen. You know whose
Amen.
You are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want to say one thing. Listen, everybody who's listening and those who will be listening on the archives, go to YouTube and play and look up a song, Beyond Blessed. And I have been just meditating and singing and praising with this song. It's an old school song, but it's a powerfully anointed song. Better than blessed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Better than blessed. And the lady's name that sings it, it's Candy something. I can't remember her whole name, but it's Candy something. And if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see it. I posted it on the Facebook page because I've just been, this song has really been ministering to me, and I hope it's a blessing and ministers to you as well.
You want
to
give the name again?
Okay, it's Better Than Blessed by Louise Candy Davis.
Okay, Better Than Blessed. Hallelujah. I like that already.
Yeah. You want me to play it?
Better Than Blessed. I like that already. I like that already. Go ahead.
Okay. So I know that the time is of the essence. I also want us to remember Kim Tyler, Chappelle in prayer. Lift her up in prayer. And lift up Bishop and Prophetess Davis out of Indiana. Lift them up in prayer as well.
May God bless you.